And I've just been so excited about this teaching on the Lord's Prayer. I can't believe it's coming to an end. And I'm thinking, well, let me just say before I even start this morning, so we're on the phrase, which is probably one of the most difficult phrases for people who are, you know, studied the Bible and look at the context of the whole Bible, and they just look at this phrase, that one phrase. It's so easy to say the phrase, and it's so easy because when you're repeating the Lord's Prayer, it's like it just comes out of your mouth, but you don't realize how difficult it is to really get the gist of what this phrase means. And the phrase is, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So that's where we're at today. We're on that particular phrase. So I'm asking God for wisdom, for discernment, because some of you know other parts of the Bible. And those people who we call them scholars, you know, people who put a lot of time in studying the Bible, they would say this is not an easy phrase to get a gist of the meaning, but they work at trying to get a handle on it. Now, biggest thing about this prayer is that we have to look at the prayer in its context. Okay, you know what I mean when I say you look at something in its context? What do I mean? Who can tell me? Look at the big picture and see how it fits. So you look at this prayer in its context. All right, so in other words, each phrase even has to be looked at the context that it's a whole prayer. It's not just one phrase, right? So that's one way you look at this prayer. The other way you look at this prayer is you look at this prayer in the context of all the teachings of the Bible. All the teachings of Jesus. You know, so many people, it's so easy to pull something out. It's like, oh, look at this verse. You know what I mean? Or look at this. And all of a sudden we get all worked up about it because it seems so weird or seems so odd or seems out of character. It seems like it doesn't fit the rest. Right? Well, let's get to know the rest. And when you get to know the rest, it's like trying to do a puzzle. You know, you get all, and there's pieces that aren't quite there, and you're looking at it and saying, what's this? It's just a hodgepodge of this. And then you get all the pieces together, and then it makes sense. It's a picture. Or you're looking at an artist, he's doing a sculpture, or, you know, or a painting. All of a sudden, you're looking at the brush strokes, and you're wondering, what's going on with this? When you see some of the people who are painting, the first thing they do, it's like, come on, what's this going to be? It's all the backdrop stuff, right? And then you build it onto that. And I'm thinking, whoa. And then all of a sudden, you got this beautiful thing, and you're saying, wow, I finally see it. Does it make sense? That's how we have to look at the Bible. That's how we have to look at the teachings of the Lord. It's in context. I love it. That's why I encourage you. I would really continue to encourage you to put time in getting to know the Word, getting to know God's Word, getting to know the Bible. And some of it means, well, again, you know, sitting around with a Bible in my pocket, which I do have one of those, you know, Bible in my phone, or having a Bible in my home or Bible on my desk, right, in a prominent place, it doesn't mean I'm going to get it. It's not going to just come to me like this. Okay, it's something that I have the discipline to put myself into. If it means so much to me, and I'm going to encourage you today because there's some things that we want to. I'm going to look at this with a lot of context, meaning we're going to look at some scriptures from all over the place to fit it together to see if it really makes sense to us. And I'm praying that you'll get something out of this today that's going to encourage you in your walk with Jesus, that's going to encourage you when you come to the Lord in prayer, that this is going to make sense when you pray. Amen? All right. So let's just see where the Lord's going to take us. This plane's ready to take off. It's already had its, you know, it's been on the runway getting ready off. Now it's ready, getting ready to get off getting off, right? So we're going to go there in Jesus' name. So Lord, I pray for wisdom. I pray for insight. I pray for revelation. I pray for an understanding. I pray for ears to open, eyes to open, hearts to open, minds to open. And I thank you, Holy Spirit. I've been praying this morning. The Holy Spirit is the one who leads us and guides us into all truth. I pray for that to be, that we will get in such a strong sense. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. Thank you, God. Well, do you know, it's interesting when you get your Bible and you start reading it, or you start, you know, you're listening to it, or whatever, however you do it. I love to do both. As I said to you before, I'm a listener. I actually get a lot out of listening. Some people find it easier to read or see. I can listen and I can get a lot from listening. So anyway, so I listen to the Bible. I'll just put it on my, you know, my phone and listen. But I also read. But anyways, when you read your Bible, you'll find that right from the very beginning of time, when God put man, Adam and Eve, in the garden, when God created man, and there was, it was like, you know, something of a presence was already in the garden that was ready to pounce on the creation. How many of you know the book of Genesis that there was a temptation right away that happened in the garden? If you look at the Bible, the context, now, you know, people can take whatever they want from it. I happen to be one that believes what it is, you know, it is what it is. It is what God says it is. You know, there was Adam and Eve, there was a serpent, there was, you know, somebody in the garden who was ready to pounce on Adam and Eve, those that were created in God's image, to bring temptation for them to disobey God, right? That was, and it makes sense from a, again, from a narrative, from the Bible story makes sense when I look at life. You know, if you're asking question, where did evil come from? Well, it doesn't come from God. Where does it come from? Well, it's got to come from something that's evil. And there was something that was evil. And if you look at the, again, you get to know this because you realize there was one who lived with God, who was one of the higher angels with God and of God, who fell from his place, Lucifer, and he was cast to the earth. You know, these are all things you're not going to get from one place. You're going to read it and find it. And when you get it and you see it and you say, wow, it makes sense that there was somebody who was against God, opposed God, and wanted to bring evil and destruction upon his creation. You follow me? So we have temptation right at the very beginning of time where this is presented. So when you have to get that context to this prayer, this phrase, you know, and this prayer is, you know, when we go to this prayer, who are we addressing? Let's get back to the prayer. First thing we do is say, Our Father. Okay. Let's get oriented to God. Our Father, who's in heaven. You know what it tells me? He's all powerful. He's in heaven. He has a higher place of authority. He has a higher place that I can go to. So even though I'm on earth, there's a place that I can go to find help. Where do I go from when I'm in trouble? I go to the mountains. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Come on. This is amazing. So I go to God, our Father in heaven. Who? Hallowed be your name. Holy, awesome, majestic is your name. Something great in the name of God. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come, and your will be done. I want you to ask you this. Think about it. Ask yourself this question. Your kingdom come means not my kingdom. And guess what? Not his kingdom either. Not my will, not his will either. I'm talking the devil now. Not the evil one. So when we pray, that's why when we pray on these Saturday nights, we're praying opposite to what we're witnessing. What we're seeing on earth is oftentimes the kingdom of this world. Satan, who's the prince and the power of the air, he's the god of this world, god of this age. There is a kingdom in which he is at work in this world that we live. So we pray for his kingdom to come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it's in the context of the Lord's Prayer we're going to come to this phrase. Are you following me? Okay. Then we say, you know, give us this day our daily bread. And it's God's concerned about our daily needs. You know, how many of you know if you're tempted, you know, a lot of times temptations will come to you if you're not having your needs met. Right? So the Lord is interested in our daily bread. He's interested in our earthly and physical concerns. They're concerned to him. It's interesting. The first request in the Lord's Prayer is our physical needs. We think it's got to do with spiritual needs. But if you don't get them fed, you can't really talk to them, can you? There's something about taking care of the physical needs. That's why when we go, we do it here, or we go to see it in the mission field, we meet the needs of the people. Physical needs are important. So give us this day our daily bread. And then it says, forgive us our sins, our trespasses, right, as we forgive others who've sinned against us. And of course, that was a whole talk on it last week, so we're not going there. But I want you to get this. So when we look at it in the context, lead us not into temptation. Now, there's difficulties with the phrase, because when you look at the Bible, now, look at the context of the Bible, it seems like temptation is everywhere. If you read the Bible, it's like, so is he saying, don't bring temptation in my life? Or don't allow temptation to come in, or come into my life, or come upon me? What's he saying? Now, the interesting thing about temptation, if you want to, we're going to just try to sort it out here a little bit. Okay, there's two types of temptations, and it's interesting because the word temptation doesn't really give us the liberty because it's the same word used. The word that's used for temptation is not different in this context. It's used for two things. One is enticement to do wrong. Okay? The other one is trials and troubles and tribulation and suffering. Are you with me? Okay, because there's a this word temptation. Now, it's important to distinguish it for sure, but what's interesting is the word is the same. So I believe when he's saying here, it can kind of connect possibly on both accounts, but I think primarily it's got to do with enticement to do wrong. Are you following me? There's a place where temptation is an enticement. Temptation is it's like a seducing. Oh, I'm going to put it like this, because you know one of my favorite pastimes. Who knows one of my favorite pastimes is? Thank you. And somebody said, hey, fishing season's going to start soon. And I say, yay. So, all right. If you don't know about that, PEI's fishing season for trout starts April 15th. Ice permitting. We'll see. Weather permitting. All right. You know, I love to fish. And I love to fish all seasons. Now, maybe as I get older, I'm a little bit wiser when, you know, I was choosing my days when I go fishing. But, you know, used to be we were younger, and maybe not that long ago, that I'd get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'd be out there, and we'd be out there getting the fire going, you know, right by the river, and we'd just be thinking it'd be great to just get that first hook in. You know, it's 2 hours before sunrise, so, you know, you're looking at the time, 6:30 sunrise or 4:30, I got to get my line in. you know what I'm talking about, buddy. So, anyways, but the idea behind fishing, in this particular sport and this type of thing, I'm going to give you some other illustrations, is the idea is I'm going to tempt the fish to take a bait or a lure, thinking that they're getting something good, but it's not. Right? And what's interesting is I will change my bait or what I use depending on the kind of fish I'm fishing. You guys learned that, written it from me. And you have a better chance of catching particular fish because of the bait you use. Now I'm going to suggest to you that the enemy who brings temptation knows very well each individual and what kind of bait you'll be attracted to. It's different for everybody. And he's got a whole bag full of tricks. Ephesians 6, he is like, his ways are, he schemes. It says in Ephesians 6, you know, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against this the powers of wickedness in high places. It says here that Satan is a schemer. He's deceptive. So he's going to set you up. The idea here is the Lord is asking us to pray. He's saying, Lord, lead me not into the trap or the lure of the enemy of temptation. Lead me not into that place where I get sucked in. Lead me not. It's almost like this. There's a blind spot and I don't see it, and I pull out and I get whacked. Are you familiar with that illustration, this illustration? So, Lord, keep me aware of the blind spots. Keep me aware of where he can sneak in. Because he doesn't play clean. He plays dirty. And what's going to get you is not necessarily what's going to get me. Yeah, there is a place where all humanity is under this, in this place of temptation, on this place. And the Lord tells us that, doesn't he? He talks about the idea that we need to realize that temptation is part of all of humanity. And we need to realize that when it comes to that, that no temptation is, it says, taken to you, but such as is common to everyone, right? Do you remember that passage in 1 Corinthians 12:13? No temptation taken to you, but such as is common to all man, right? But God will not allow you to be tempted above you're able to handle, but with the temptation, 2 Corinthians, I don't know, somewhere in that place that you look, if you're looking for, I think 2 Corinthians 12:13, is it? I'm just thinking of the verse right now, but that God will not allow you to be tempted above you can handle, but with the temptation also provide a way of escape that you might be able to bear it or to come out from under it, right? So when it says, lead us not into temptation, here are some key things you need to realize. Some of the things is this, don't set yourself up. Hear this, guys. Don't set yourself up and ask God to take you out. Listen, the lures and the temptations of the world are already there. Here's another scripture, okay? 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 14, I'm going to actually take a minute and read that passage. 1 John 2, and I want you to see it's so the liar and the deceiver comes to steal, kill, and so remember, he's out to get you. He's out to get, now he's out to destroy life from the very beginning. So his plan hasn't changed. He's going to disrupt the plan of God in your life and life of the world. Okay, and it says here in this passage in 1 John 2, verse 14, 15, I'm sorry, 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, what is in the world? The cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires or passions and lusts will pass away, but the one who does the will of God will live forever. I'm going to read that in the message. Let's read that in the message. It just seems to help quite a bit. So hear it. The same scripture I'm reading in the translation is the message. Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. The love of the world squeezes you out of the love of the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. I want his kingdom to come, his will to be done. Well, this is how we do it. We don't crave these things. We don't flaunt these things. It has nothing to do with Father. It just isolates you from him. The world and all its wanting is on its way out. But whoever does what God wants is set up for eternity. Isn't that great translation? So when we pray this prayer, lead us not into temptation. Well, I'm making this prayer and I'm being greedy. And I'm asking all the things for myself. Well, I'm praying the prayer, but I'm setting myself up for failure. Or I'm praying this prayer, Lord, lead us not into temptation, and I'm into pornography. or watching things that I shouldn't watch, or looking at women and objectifying them as not God's creation, but something that's seductive. I'm setting myself up. Are you with me? So whatever your weakness is, he's ready to pounce on it. So we can't just, oh, well, Lord, lead me not in temptation. I'm walking all over it. If I'm an addict, if I'm an alcoholic or a drug addict, and I'm spending time at the place where it's happening, I am not going to say, Lord, lead me not in temptation. I'm walking right in it. Are you following what I'm getting at? Whatever our weakness is, we got to be guarded. And part of this prayer is, Lord, keep me from that pitfall. Keep me from the deception of the enemy. Keep me. So it's like, Lord, lead me not in that path, but I got to make a decision to stay out. It's like the sign is there, danger, don't walk in, and we just walk in. And all of a sudden, we're attacked by this dog. Because it's this bulldog behind the fence. And I've stepped into the no safety zone, and I'm saying, God, protect me. Now, let me tell you something. God's mercy is great, because there are times when I get into a situation that I shouldn't be in and I call out to God, his mercy does deliver me. Now, the thing about lead us not into temptation, so when we're talking about this enticement, we're talking about, and the enticement comes from, hey, everything around you speaks of it. Come on, I want you to think about this idea of lust in the way of greed, in the way of materialism. Come on, we live in a world that's quite materialistic, and we all struggle with it. Isn't that true? We all struggle with it at some level or another. If all I'm doing is putting myself in a position of just, you know, where I just consume my life with what I don't have and what I want. And I'm talking about that sense of, you know, that wrong sense. There's a right sense of just wanting what God has for us. He wants the good for us. He wants the best for us. But if it consumes me, if it's in that place of just taking over in my life, then it leads to this area of having, you know, being in that place of temptation, right? So I'm just using examples, and I'm just seeing how easy it is to get sucked in, because the devil's going to set up the trap specifically designed for you as a fish. Thank you. We're going to go. That's where I'm going. Beautiful. Love it. So let's go to that. It's James chapter 1. Thank you. In James chapter 1. Now, what's interesting is in this scripture, this word temptation is seen in its two forms. Remember I talked about temptation is enticement to wrong, enticement to sin, and temptation is also trials and difficulties in life, including suffering and hardship. Right? Stuff that you're going through. And in James, what's interesting about James is he gives both of those in one chapter within a few verses, you know. So let's look at this. James chapter 1, and let's make a distinction here. Because, first of all, I want you to realize that temptation and trials and troubles and difficulties are going to be part of your life. You're not asking God, keep me away and put me in a bubble. Did you hear what I just said? God's not going to put you in a bubble. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. How many of you know? Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trials and difficulties and hardships, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So it's not going to disappear. It's just how I live in the world and live in the context of the situation that's going to change. So here, this is James 1. So look what it says. So the first section we're going to read is the trials, the suffering, the hardships, the persecution, all that comes with what we call trials. Okay, so let's look at that. First chapter, James 1, chapter, verse 2. The attitude we should have towards trials, because, hey, which of you haven't faced some trials lately? And maybe you're facing them now. Some of you faced them at work. Hey, anybody face trials at work? Suffering, hardship, difficulty? Some of them faced them in family, in context of just life in general. It, you know, hardships of finances, trials are, this is not temptation necessarily is an enticement to sin. It's hardships, right? So this is what it says. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So let's just say this. So trials and difficulty are forming you and forming your character, forming your, it's like these, so hardships and difficulty aren't necessarily, well, God, take it away. God has provided that as a means of maturity, as a means to test us to, it's like he, you know, I don't like the word in some ways, but because it's not necessarily exactly what I mean, but it's like, you know, you develop a tough skin, you know, and I don't, like I said, like, that word can be negative here because I still want to be soft towards God. Are you with me? I don't want to become hard, okay? I don't want to be my heart to become hard. But trials and difficulty give me a sense of maturity. It toughens me up, you know. So basically what happens, it's preparing you by God. It's a preparation from God. It's like, you know, if you've been a follower of Jesus for a little while, I'm going to say this. You find that when you pass these kind of tests, if you're going through a test and you pass that test, well, guess what? Kindergarten has that test. Grade 1 has that test. Grade 12 has that test. Who's with me here? Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Don't tell me I'm just in kindergarten. But I want to encourage you guys, because he is not going to allow the test and the trials to overcome you. But there is a place where he's calling us. See, it's a maturity. It's a maturity in God. It's a maturity, spiritual level of maturity. Because what he's calling you to next, I said last night, I said, I'm going to be 60 this year. And I said, I want the strength of God to continue on, like with the energy I have till I'm 85. Amen. I'm not kidding. I'm not quitting. I'm just saying, by the grace of God, I want to carry on. But I'll tell you something, in some ways it scares me a bit, because I know the tests that I'm going through now and tests I went through last year and trials and the tests we've gone through earlier this year are just only to prepare us for the greater tests. Thank you, Jesus. That's right, because it is maturing me. It's maturing you. It's maturing us. This is even good. I'm glad you shared that. Because even as a church, right? Even as a body of Christ, when we've gone through some trials and we come through together, it gives us strength to go on for the next one. It helps us as a church to mature, isn't it? That's good. It's just got on me when you said that there's something going on maturity-wise as a whole. As much as there is personal maturity, there's a body maturity going on. How many know that's also biblical? Yeah, read Ephesians 4. About the gifts that he gave to the church. And it all comes to maturity when we follow this teaching of the Lord. Amen? It's all about the same. So, all right, so that's one kind of temptation. And we're not saying, Lord, deliver, keep me, or, you know, we're not saying, lead me not into temptation. What we're saying is, Lord, lead me from a pitfall. Lead me from the trap of the enemy. Keep me out of that place where I'm not, you know, you cover my back, Lord. You know, you watch over. You show me, you whisper in my ear when I'm going to a lure or a trap that's set for me. You know, you show me. It's almost like there's a place where the Lord said, when it comes to temptation of the devil, he said to the disciples, watch and guess what? What's first? Watch. Be on guard. Lord, help me to be on guard. Lead me not into temptation. Well, another way you could say it, Lord, help me to be on guard. Show me quickly. Isn't that cool? Help me to be on guard. The Lord said to his disciple, be on guard, watch and pray, lest you come into. That was the scripture. He said that to his disciples as they were going to pray as he went to pray. And he said, watch and pray lest you fall into. Wow. There's a place of watching. There's a place of alertness. And the thing about it is, you know, because the Satan, 1 Peter chapter 5, and I think is it 8 or something, that Satan, like a roaring lion, is seeking who he may devour. Right? He's looking, he's prowling around. I mean, he's got all kinds of people, or in people, demon spirits working for him. How many know that? He's got 1/3 of the angels fell when Satan fell. So he's there, and he's sending his agents to go to work. Now listen, this is not a fear thing. This is it's a caution thing. Right? That's what we're talking about here today. Lead us not into temptation. So the next verse Lynette was talking about the Lord doesn't entice us to sin. This is so verse 13, same chapter, James 1, verse 13. Okay, so he talks about trials, then he's talking about this enticement. So it says here, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. Did you notice that? Because God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desires he's dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Well, that's pretty strong language. But that's how it works. So that's why I say, don't set yourself up. How many ever read the book of Proverbs? Basically, the Proverbs, most of them are written by Solomon. But if you read the Proverbs, they're instructions of really a man who God had granted great wisdom to, right? And when God gave him wisdom, his writing of the Proverbs were to instruct people. And actually, some of the instruction was given to his son. How many of you know the Proverbs? You know, he says, my son, right? And what's interesting about the Proverbs is when you read those sections, he's actually talking about this temptation thing, this, you know, and he uses a really kind of interesting wording. So let's just go to that for a minute. So what we're saying is this: God, grant me wisdom to be able to see when temptation is lurking around the corner. Does that make sense, guys? Grant me wisdom to see when temptation is lurking around the corner. Now, look at Proverbs. I love this. It says here, chapter 7, verse 4. This is the instruction of Solomon. I think it makes a lot of sense when you see the picture here. It's a cool picture, but it's really interesting. He says here, say to wisdom, you're my sister. First of all, this is my instruction for you guys. Get wisdom. Now, it's interesting. In James, look what it says. After we talked about temptation, in James chapter 1, he says, know that God's not tempting you to do evil. And then he says, in that same, in that first section, when he talks about trials and difficulty, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault and giving to them. So I want to encourage you guys, wisdom ought to be your sister, ought to be your brother, ought to be, like, I need to cling to wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? Wisdom comes from the instruction of the Lord. Wisdom comes from the fear of the Lord. How many of you know the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? You know what that means? I awe him. I respect him. I honor him. You know, let me tell you this. You guys are going to say, oh, pastor, that's not nice. But you know, pastor's probably more open in the congregation than I don't know. I take the risks. Hey, there was a time I didn't look at women right. Did you hear what I just said? Oh, pastor, terrible, naughty, naughty. I'm a man. I'm tempted. Jesus was tempted. Now follow me. You know what the Lord showed me? The biggest way that the deliverance for me over this situation is they're God's daughters. You know, you fear me. I created them in my image. What are you doing looking at them wrong? They're created in my image. Come on. There's a sense of fear of the Lord. There's a sense of awe of God and God's creation. The fear of the Lord was beginning of wisdom. And it was like, yeah, okay. So, I mean, there's other things that God helped me with too, but I'm telling you, that was huge. Wisdom was my sister. Hey, praise God. Look at Proverbs 7, verse 4. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your kinsman or your relative. They will keep you from the adulteress and from the wayward wife and the seductive words. Now, this is an illustration. What I'm saying to you is lust and desire are out there lurking. And it's not necessarily just an adulteress, not just somebody who's walking around trying to prostitute themselves. This is not just it. This is the illustration of how temptation works. I can't be lurking. He's saying, don't lurk around. Don't, you know, oh, I'm walking around a corner. I'm just using this as an example. And I'm going to a place where prostitutes hang out. I got problems. Yeah. Or where there's nudity and you can go in and watch these, you know, dirty shows. Are you following me? And if I have an issue, is that where I hang out? Oh, that's the point. He's talking about this in the context of Proverbs, but your life might be different. Are you following me? He says, keep yourself from this. And look at verse 6. At the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice. I saw the simple. I noticed among the young men a youth who lacked judgment. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house. At twilight, at the day it was fading, the dark of night was set in. Then came out a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute. Crafty and intent. She's loud and defiant. Her feet are never stay home, now in the street, now in the squares. At the corner, she lurks. She's looking for a prey. She's putting out the devil. Now, the devil is all behind this. You see, the world and its ways, she took a hold of him and kissed him and go on. It just went on until he went to bed with her. That's the story here. You know, temptation itself is not sin. Abby asked me to look something up. She said, can you go look up that maybe in the Greek? I didn't look it up in the Greek, but I did get a sense of what the Lord felt. That, you know, when the Lord says, don't look at a woman with lust in your heart. If you look at a woman with lust in your heart, that you have as if you had sinned. I really felt the Lord gave me the insight in that. The word lust itself is the key. The word lust is a strong desire to have her. It's not just a glancing look. So sometimes it's like if there's been a temptation in your life in a certain area and all of a sudden something flashes across you, you know, a glancing look because of the nature of the world we live in. When I'm at the beach, I got to be careful. Hey, are you following me? Okay, I'm just saying. If I'm in a place where there's seductive, you know, I can't help it. I love the beach. I love the water. I'm not going to stay away from the beach. But there is a place of wisdom. Right? So this is what we're talking about. So when it comes to these things, you know, when we say, Lord, lead us not into temptation, there is a place of exercising wisdom. I'm going to places that I'm hoping are really going to give you some nuggets today. They're going to say, yeah, you know, here's the other thing, guys. If my mind, my heart, my body, my soul, if my being was satisfied with God, if my needs were met by God, okay, appetites, if I'm full of God, guess what? Things of this world will not allure me or attract me. They will be, because you know what it'll be like? We had a great feast the other day. This week was amazing. We had a couple of outings out of our house and a couple of meals with other people. And you know, when you go out to somebody's place, usually they put on a big scarf or you're part of a big scarf, right? Anybody here? You know, so if you're part of a big meal, after you're stuffed, you can bring whatever you like. And I'm sitting there thinking, no way am I going to be able to eat that. Because you're stuffed. You're full. If I'm in that place where God has filled me, and I'm in that place where I'm satisfied, where he is, you know, because you see, here's the thing. If I fill my life with things that are his portion, that's why I'm telling you guys, don't just wait to come here and let me spoon feed you. Hey, I love to do it. Are you with me? There is a place in the Word of God for those who teach and preach. But don't let that be the only source. Get time alone with God. Get a place where you can just process the Word. Because here's the other passage along this way. Psalm 1. Psalm 1 says, this first psalm in the Bible has to do with the same kind of stuff. Maybe you don't see it that way, but I'm going to tell you. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the wicked or the ungodly. Blessed is the man. Well, you know what he's saying? If you want to live a life blessed by God and live a life really to be happy with in your life, to be content, all of that, then you will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You will not hang out with people another translation, I like it. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. I think that ungodly is actually a good translation, which means they don't have God in their life. I like that translation better. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Or stand in the way of sinners. Because here's the thing. You know, you guys are, it's a computer age. You know, a computer will only give you what you put in. How many know that? Where our brain's like a computer. We don't give out so you're going to put it, you know, I'm putting stuff in my life. The stuff I'm putting in my life is going to come out somewhere. It's got to. But I have a choice. I can choose what I put into my life. You're here today. You know, you made a choice to come here today. And I'm hoping you're getting some good stuff, right? It's going to help you. But the thing is, you have to choose whether you allow the good stuff, God's stuff, because, you know, God's not a spoil sport. Let me tell you, when I'm satisfied with God, I will not crave the habits, the addictions that lure me. I'm not picking on anybody here today. I just know my weaknesses. You know yours. Are you following me? I'm not picking on you. I'm just telling you that we all got weaknesses. But when I'm satisfied with God, I'm not continuing to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I am not standing in the way of sinners. You know what that means? That not only am I not listening, putting stuff in my life through radio, television, or not radio anymore, but TV and movies and all internet. If I'm not putting stuff in my mind, then that's a good thing. I'm not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Eh? But then, says, stand in the way of sinners. This is old-time language because they lived in the old time. Okay? But in our day, it's like stand in the way of sinners. It means that I'm actually now hanging out, doing what they did. Standing with the sinners, doing this activity. Or sit in the seat of the scoffers. Yeah, because then you get not only doing, but then you actually start participating in making mockery of God's people. You're actually you have shifted totally. But here, the key here is this, guys, the next verse. The next verse is what we're talking about. But it's the place where I can, if I'm going to be established and be filled of God, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Instead of being occupied with all of that, I delight in the word of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night, because there's a place where He comes in, He occupies, He fills up. And when He fills up the space in my life that I think that's going to take, and you know, if I think that's going to fill up a space in my life, guess what? Solomon, believe it or not, come on, the guy is supposed to be the wisest of all, made the most stupidest choices you can imagine. His life, you know, he might have been a good teacher, but he might have asked God for wisdom, and God granted wisdom. But I'll tell you, it didn't walk in it a lot of times. You read the book of Ecclesiastes, you know what he says? I've tried it all, but all is vanity. All is worthless. You know, read that. I tried it all. I had it all. He had the riches. He had the women. How many of you know that about Solomon? Read it. I thought I needed more than what God gave to me, and I went after it. That's what Solomon's saying. And I realized all is vanity. You know what vanity means? Soap bubbles. You think you got something? Or a mirage. All of a sudden, it's not there. It's not really satisfying. There's no water there. It's a mirage. You get to life at a certain age, you know, you and I, you know, you might be a couple of years older than me, but we're getting up there. But the point is, we get to realize, man, what does that matter, right? What does that matter anyways? Really? Nothing, is it? So there's something that, you know, and, you know, older, you know, we get wiser. But there's a place where that's what happened to Solomon. He realized, man, all this stuff I'm going after. So lead us not into temptations. Lord, keep me from the things that are going to destroy my life. That are substitutes for who you really want to be in my life. It was your kingdom come, your will be done. It's all connected. So lead me not into temptation. That's going to take away from you, God. That you're my satisfaction, you're my delight, you're everything to me. The more He is to me, the less that'll be attractive to me. Like I said, it could be amassing wealth or all of that stuff, anything of the world. Hey, the more He fills, the less I want that. There's proper context for everything, guys. We're not picking on one thing or another here, right? So this is really key. Wow. I hope this was helpful. So, and my prayer is that God will, you know, just bring this revelation to a deeper place for you today. Because I'll tell you, there can be a lot of confusion. I'm not focusing, did you notice, I didn't focus a lot on the second part of this phrase, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from. They're connected, all right? And next week, I'm going to talk about the next phrase, deliver us from evil. Or really, the phrase actually means deliver us from the evil one. I believe it's talking about the evil one. I believe it's talking about Satan, demons, and all those things. So I want to go a little bit into that next week and talk about in that context. So today I wanted to speak on it from a general point of view, and I believe that, wow, you know, so delighted that you guys are here. You know what it shows me? You're hungry for God. And I just pray that whatever hunger you have for God, that God's going to satisfy you today. That God's brought the word revelation teaching to you today as food for you today. That you will take that and meditate, chew on it. The word meditate means to chew on it, you know, to reflect on it, to even put it into your life. You know, I love the word meditate. Somebody said meditate's like the cow chewing its cud. How many remember that one? You know, when a cow, that's not very nice. When a cow chews its cud, actually when a cow is, what is it, they chew it, they put the food down to bring it back up, regurgitate it, and then chew it again. That's what he means. Chewing its cud is chewing their vomit. Ooh. Okay, it's not very pleasant. Don't give me that before lunch. But here's the thing, guys. It's like, God, you put your word in my life, now bring it back so I can think about it, so I can really work it out in my life, right? Yeah, I want to encourage you all today because, you know, you're here today because you're hungry, and God will, you know, God will satisfy the hungry. And, you know, I think that the Lord will bring, my prayer for you today is God will bring back to remembrance things that you've heard today. That when You know, it says when the day in Ephesians 6, you know, there's so much more we could talk about. You could do a whole series on this thing. But basically in Ephesians 6, when he talks about, we'll talk maybe about it next week, the armor of God. It says when the day of evil comes, that you'll be able to stand. How many know that scripture in the context of temptation? So what the day of evil really means is when the day temptations come lurking. When the day the bait is right in front of me, when I go fishing, I throw that line out, and the bait is there to lure the fish, that's the day of evil for that fish. He has no idea, but I have evil intent for the fish. Good intent for me, because I love fish, but not a very good intent for that fish. You follow me? Yeah, we're getting ready, buddy. I was over in Moncton yesterday with my family, so we got some supplies. Amen. Here's my fishing buddy. So that's just it, guys. So ask the Lord, you know, be prepared. This is, okay, last thing I want to say. Man, I have so many scriptures that the Lord gave me on this topic. But one of the scriptures was Titus chapter 2, and it's verse 11. It goes like this. Listen to this. And this is so important to connect with this, because there is a strength. When he says, Lord, lead us not into temptation, what he's saying is, God, don't just keep me away and from tripping and falling in this trap, but what he's saying is, give me the grace and the strength, because that next part, lead, you know, deliver us from evil. So what happens here, listen, Titus 2, verse 11, says the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. But it doesn't just appear to bring you salvation. The grace of God is God's ability, God's strength, God's power, God's enablement. The grace of God that came to bring you salvation has appeared to all men to do what? Wow. To do what? Teach us to deny worldly passion, to say no to ungodliness, to say no to sin. The grace of God is brought to you. God wants to give you his strength, his ability to say no to sin. To say no, another translation, it says no to sin. It teaches me. The word there teaches, instructs me. It gives me all that I need to say no to sin and the worldly lusts, passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and a godly life in this present age. How many are grateful for that? So my prayer today for you and me as we leave this morning, Andy, can you come and just give us a thank you for just coming and just leading us. It's about 10 to 12. We're good for time. I really felt the Lord just say, pray over you as a people, pray over me. Because God's given us his grace. God's given us his strength and his ability. And he offers it to you and I. I'm going to reach up and take it today. I'm going to reach up and grab it today. I'm going to say, God, you have enabled me. You strengthened me. You equipped me. You empowered me. Because he gave that strength to Joseph when he was being chased down by Potiphar's wife. How many remember that story in the Bible? He'll give you the grace and the strength you need when you call on him, when you cry out to him. That's what we do in worship. We're saying, we're crying out to you. Come on. I am thanking God for his ability to say no to the stuff that's coming against me. And I pray that over you today. That you will have a revelation of that. Light will come on in the moment of temptation and trial. God's going to say, hey, you got the power, girl. It's in you. Holy Spirit's in you. Draw on me, my strength. Because that's another attitude here. The attitude of this scripture, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, is an attitude of humility. It's an attitude of acknowledging weakness. It's an attitude, I need you, Lord. I'm going to go back to this first phrase. Our Father who is in. Guess what? Jesus is saying, look to your Father who's so gracious. He wants to give you this. He's more for you to get free. He's more for you to get the grace to deal with it. Oh. Oh, thank you, Lord. My prayer for you today is you're going to see our Father who's gracious. He gives good gifts to his kids. He's going to show you the weaknesses that I have. He's going to give me the strength to overcome in Jesus' name. He's going to give you the strength. And if, I am not going to say if there's a weakness in my life that leads to sin, I'm not going to say that's how I'm created. or that's the way I am, that's the way it's going to be. In Jesus' name, I pray you'll see that God is able to change you. There's things in my life, I'm almost 60, I tell Shelly, listen, you're going to have to help me with this because I need you as a wife, somebody to be accountable to help me here. I can trust in the grace of God, but I also have to just say, Lord, help me here. So I pray that over you in Jesus' name, that God will give you the grace, the strength, the ability.